All right. I don't know if this is I hope this is going out live. It seems like it's going out live. This is my first time ever live streaming. Presently zero viewers, which is exciting. I have a guest with me. He's the guy that I turn to very often when I'm starting a stupid, unsuccessful project, like going live on YouTube. And his name is, well, let me start with this. I'm not going to do a bad comedy intro. He has an album that went to number one on iTunes called Good Luck in Court. He's got a Dry Bar special. He's got another special called Jokes Against Boise, against a rowdy crowd in Boise, Idaho. One of my favorite names of a special ever. Welcome, Gabriel Rutledge.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? I can hear you. I hope that the crowd can hear you. By the way, send us some feedback in the chat if Gabe is too quiet. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Also,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this is a tremendous shirt you have on.
Oh, yeah. This is from, what is that bar in Spokane? Frankie's?
It's like the Starlight. Oh, no, yeah, not Star. Yeah.
Something. What is it?
Satellite.
Satellite Diner. Satellite
yeah.
Diner.
Yeah. Which is like their iconic diner. Also, I remember you and I went there because we did Spokane. No, I don't even think we did Spokane Comedy Club together. We just were like, I think we did a weekend of like, that was a weird weekend. We had that Airbnb in Spokane.
Yeah.
And like you and I did a couple shows together. I went in a day early and you stayed a day late to do a show in Missoula, if you remember.
Yes. Yes, I do remember. Yeah, we were in Coeur d'Alene for a couple of those.
Yeah. That was like the first, like some of the first shows I did on the road after the pandemic were in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where they've never had a pandemic.
They were like, where have you been? What?
Yeah, we've been waiting here in Coeur d'Alene for a long time for you to come. Yeah, that place was cool. It's later I had my first ever Blanton's whiskey at that same diner. I was doing a show there, and a buddy of mine just happened to be in town. I had no idea I was doing a show. And it's right down the street from Spokane Comedy Club. And Blanton's is like a rare whiskey. It's hard to find. And I got it, and they gave it to me in a plastic shot glass, which was the most like Spokane dive bar experience I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised to hear they had anything above Jameson.
Yeah.
At that bar, but...
Yeah, it was very good, but it was just such a fun experience to be. I think I also had, because I couldn't continue to drink nice whiskey out of a plastic glass. I guess I'm a snob, but I had to switch to like bullet bourbon. Cause like, I can't, but also it's not, it was like $9 for a Blanton's, which I was surprised because it's rare. I thought it was going to be like $1 million, but it's not, Spokane hasn't come around on it. They're trying to get rid of it. It's on wholesale there.
They're like, yeah.
Those are
like,
fancy city booze.
Yeah, we've had this shit for years. No one will drink it.
It somehow is now 25-year-aged Blanton's. You have started to wear on stage these shirts that say like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I've never had the opportunity to ask you why these shirts are... Why you're wearing these shirts? Are you literally wearing them on the days of the week that they correspond with?
Yeah. So I said to my wife, I really just want to wear every day a shirt that has the day of the week on it. And I was kind of joking around. And then she was like, well, why don't you? And so with that sort of spousal encouragement, I did. I don't have, the only one I don't have is Monday right now, but I'm really, you know, the less decisions I have to make in life, the better. And I just go, hey, it's Thursday. I'll wear my Thursday shirt on stage or off stage. The hilarious thing is one time I did mess it up. I had the wrong day and people were furious. Like, it was like, I wore Thursday on Wednesday or something, and people are just trying to watch me do comedy, but just like, that's not right. It's wrong.
Is Monday, you don't have a Monday shirt because you refuse to work on Mondays?
Well, initially I thought I hardly ever have a show on Monday or Tuesday, but then now I'm working Vegas and I do, so I'm ordering those too. So,
damn. Have you thought about, I assume you got them on Amazon or something like that?
I did it at it's like a t-shirt place online, same place.
Oh, you made custom Gabe Rutledge weekday of the week. That would be fun merch, except for now you have to carry 7 shirts with you, or like correspond your shirts to the day of the week that you're selling.
Yeah, people ask after shows, they're like, hey, do you have any of those Saturday shirts for sale? I'm like, no, not really, I don't.
That's so funny.
But yeah, imagine my garage with just like a box for each day of the week that I have to, like, it's just, you know, impossible.
I also imagine you just, like, you're standing in your garage and you're like, fuck, okay, I'm all out of Thursdays. I don't have any Thursday gigs coming up. It's a nightmare. It would be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, it really would be. It would be Saturday and I would be like, I'm out of Saturday shirts, but if anyone wants a medium Tuesday, I have a lot of those if you want to stop by the merch table.
So if my memory of that that diner and that specific shirt is they had the shirt on the wall when we went there, but it wasn't for sale. And then I remember you sending me a message later that was like, I got the dive bar shirt. Like, I think we could have had matching shirts, Gabe.
That's only a matter of time, because that same trip we bought underwear together.
Oh, my God. Do you remember? Oh, that's very intimate. We went to there's a Fred Meyer right by there. And we bought underwear. I think I might have sprung for your underwear and you paid me back even, which is, it's got to be an interesting look in Spokane. Downtown Spokane is a little more progressive, but I don't think they see a couple of bearded fellas buying underwear together all that often. But I don't know if you remember this. I pulled just a pack of underwear out of the size that corresponds with the size of my ass. And somebody had thrown a smaller size into that, and I didn't even look. I just grabbed a pack. I was trying to get this over with quick and dirty. And for like an entire set, for an entire weekend, I didn't realize it until I was leaving. I was wearing a size or two down of underwear. I'm just like, God, my nuts just hurt all the time. I'm like, do I have cancer?
Yeah, I remember you said you were like, these underwear are terrible, right? You're like, it squishes my nuts. And in my head, I'm like, they're fine. I don't know. I started questioning my nut size. I'm like, there's plenty of room in there for me.
Wow. Yeah.
And then you, I don't know, you're wearing medium or something. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It was even like they were having a hard time staying over the ass crack, to be completely honest, but that wasn't causing me as much pain as much as just, like dignity loss, you know?
I was actually thinking about, I'll ask your advice. I was thinking about wearing this shirt when I record a special, but then I think people would think that this special was called Dive Bar.
I do think they would think the special is called Dive Bar. I also kind of, what do you think about, because I have like some, I'm in between merch ideas. I have no, what do you think about wearing your own merch on stage? Do you ever do that?
I never have, and that's, I have a lot of punk rock ethics left over from when I was in a band as a much younger person. And that was like, if you were like an Olympia, Washington punk rock kid and you saw a band wearing their own merch, you're like, fuck these douchebags. These are the dumbest. This band sucks. And so I never really got over that.
It's like selling out, but it's selling out. That, so I have this idea for merch, but then I'm like, I don't want to have to wear it on stage every time. I don't want to be, that's like a prop comic almost.
Yeah.
You know, like in the way that you want to simplify your decision making, I don't want to have like, I either have to have 5 of these shirts clean at all, you know, like have 5 of them ready for me to wear, which I mean, that's not that big of a problem because you have 100 of them, so having 5 of them isn't that big of a deal. But also, like, just planning around it sucks. So anyway, yeah, I'm kind of you've talked me out of it immediately. Plus, I'm too punk rock for it. Now I have to adopt your ethics.
That's right. We're indie rockers. We're not selling out to the major labels. But I will say,
go ahead. You go ahead, Gabe. You go ahead. It's the internet. You go ahead.
When I watch a comedian, and I'm not talking shit, but when I'm watching a comedian who has some sort of funny thing they're wearing, like under their shirt, or I've even seen comedians, they pull their pants off, they have a funny G-string.
Sure.
Whenever I see that, all I can think about is them before the show going, because I'm like, where's my phone? That's about all I have to bring to the show. You know what I mean? Grab my merch bag. Yeah. Where's my phone? And they're like somewhere in a hotel room, like just putting on the G-string, putting on the funny sports bra, you know, covering it up.
This is a very specific person you're talking about, I think. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
R.I.P. He's dead now, but it's
oh, is he?
There's a couple people who do things like this. I knew a guy, this guy's not dead, I don't think, but he would like pull his pants off and it was like an American flag, like briefs. And he was singing the national anthem in a funny way. I can't remember what it was. But it was like any of those, like, I got to get my ward, like a magician would do. Like, you got to put the dove in your pocket and, you know, all that stuff. Put the ace in your back pocket. It just kind of makes me laugh thinking about them in the hotel room, especially if they can't find it. Like, where the fuck is my G-string? My show's in 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah. I'm gonna show you a guy. I've recently gotten some flack for talking about other comics on stuff, but I'm gonna share this. Can you see my screen right now?
Yeah. Oh, Piff.
So I always think about Piff the Magic Dragon, who is, I don't, Piff's gotta still be doing shows somewhere.
He's in Vegas.
Okay. So that's better because he's got a residency. What I imagine is Piff probably has to carry on the Piff suit, because you can't do Piff without being Piff. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, anyways. So I just imagine TSA, that's the thing that stops me from ever even considering that, is TSA opening it up and I have to explain this, like, am I a furry, but I'm a dragon, so does that make me a scaly? Like, it's just too much. Also, I think that the thing in the hotel room is demoralizing, because you got to, like, do you get in the Uber as Piff? Do you change? And it's, again, nothing against Piff in particular. In fact, I think the G-string, you're a little more concealed. I think it's brave to be Piff, okay?
You know, one time they probably, he like lost the outfit in the airport luggage or whatever, and then he just had to be like Brad the Not Magic Dragon, you know what I mean, like whatever. he just had to show up naked and like still kind of do the same, like, ah, this is nearly not the same deal without my little costume.
Yeah, I've been struggling with laryngitis, and I imagine I'm like, well, I don't want to go to these shows because my magic is gone because I can't speak as, you know, emphatically as I'd like to. That's way, way easier than going on as Piff. You got to do all the Piff jokes, but in just like jeans and a t-shirt. That's brutal. Also, what do you wear under the Piff outfit? It's got to be, he's got to be in like underwear and nothing else.
Otherwise, it'd be a sweaty dragon, otherwise, I would think.
I got to get Piff on. Well, I saw a comic one time that I've always thought this was funny. It was planned in his act, but he was like a Jewish guy, big, like curly, kind of, you know, hopefully this doesn't get us demonetized, but Jewfro would be, I think, the thing that they would often call it. And he had a hat, and when he pulled the hat off, the hair came with it. And I thought that was funny, but again, it's like, that's a funny joke, but it's, you know, you gotta bring it with you every day.
That's why I don't wear hats anymore, because when I do, that's what it looks like. Like, I'm about to go, like, ta-da! And like,
like one of those Jamaican hats where the dreadlocks come with it?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
This is from comedian Mike Hansen, if you see it on the screen. You should make the tags show one size smaller than they really are so we can all feel better about ourselves. By the way, that's a Seinfeld episode. Mike just accidentally wrote a Seinfeld joke, but yeah, I totally agree. My wife, my sister this summer, she went to a bunch of countries in Asia, and she brought me back a shirt that said "I love fucking PHO," which there's a restaurant that's in Tacoma called Fucking. Also, this is one in I don't know where. And dude, I put on the shirt for the first time the other day, and I will tell you, first off, my wife goes, she's folding it, and she goes, "Oh, you know you're a 4X in Asia?" And I was like, "Oh, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that at all. It says 4X on the shirt." Absolutely brutal. But also, I put on the shirt, man. The folks of whatever she was, Malaysia, just not built like Casey McClain, okay? It doesn't even fit, like, the shoulders aren't right. Like, nothing was right about it.
Yeah, you look like three Malaysians underneath a hoodie.
That's what I've always said. That's actually the description I got. I'm using that as my intro on stage from now on, actually.
Also, I'm sort of a, I'm like, sometimes I'm a 2X and sometimes I'm an XL.
Sure.
And it's literally the same sized shirt. Like, not on the tag, but on my body. But the XL days, I feel a little better. I feel a little.
I do think there's definitely some, there's some shirts that I'm like, I know this will fit as an XL, and I'm more likely to buy that shirt. I've noticed Heather shirts. Listen, this is a very fat guy conversation, but shirts that have that Heather print, they tend to not look as... They also, I think, because of the pattern, I don't feel as fat when they're tight. But when you see, there's they like obscure those lines you get on the love handles. Sure, you know what I mean? Sure. There's a comic who I'm friend... Go ahead.
I got a merch idea.
What is it? Tell me.
2X and above shirts, but on the front they just say medium.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Like a 5X shirt that said medium would be great.
I got it. Everyone cost me $25 a piece.
Yeah.
I bought, I had some shirts, some Nobody Likes Casey McClain shirts, which are basically available for free. I'm about to send them to Africa to be with the Super Bowl loser shirts. I found the organization that you can do that with, and I will be doing that. There's going to be a lot of people in Africa that don't like Casey McClain pretty soon. But I made them for, I had two comics ask me, they were like, "Oh, I kind of want one." And I have a policy with comics that I'll give them for free. This is my pricing policy. Full price for audience members. Staff at the club, as long as they just pay me the cost of the shirt, that's fine. And then comics, I'll usually give it for free. And then my expectation is, they'll give me their merch for free if they have any ever. Also, I basically won't pay for comedians' merch. Our friends Kevin Eggleston and Todd Royce. Let's say Todd goes by, Todd Royce XXL on social media. About 3X is short, let me tell you that. These shirts are like, it's funny because I order them and they're like expensive. They're like $20 a piece for I'm getting every other shirt for $6 a piece. These two for $20 a piece. And then the printing company sends me a message and they go, "We think you should get a bigger screen for these shirts because that's going to look so small." And I'm like, I can't spend $50 a shirt to make Todd Royce and Kevin Eggleston have these shirts and have my face as big as possible on those shirts. Yeah. And now Kevin probably is at a double X now. I think he's going to come on next week, I think. But he got the gastric sleeve or whatever. He's doing a podcast about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's exciting.
I've never seen you more scared to talk about something.
Well, it's a weird thing. It's great when people get that surgery. But it's also like, it's sort of admitting shit got bad enough you needed the surgery. It's sort of like, I guess it's like congratulating someone for any other medical thing that has gone bad where you're like...
You know what, Kevin? You know, I take back my congratulations. You're a piece of shit. I take it all back. I sent him a congrats. Fuck. Nope. It's revoked.
I'm not saying that. Look, some days I'm an XL. I know what I'm talking about. No, it's great. It's great. I've seen people and the weight just, you know, disappears and it's great, but it is sort of an odd thing to be like, it's different than, it's, 'cause sometimes people just lose weight,
Yeah.
And then that's a different level of congratulations where you're like, wow, you actually are exercising. And probably Kevin's doing those things too. It's a lot easier to exercise.
Of course, he must be. He's always been doing them. That's how he maintained a cool 450 pounds.
He ran a marathon. The finish line was the surgery room. He went right in. Anyway, I shouldn't be. Congratulations to everyone who lost weight in any way. That's what I should have said.
I will say people take my congratulations a little nicer now that I'm fat, because I've known people that got that surgery when I was thin, and I'd be like, "Wow, congratulations!" They're like, "Fuck you, you don't care." And now that I'm fat, because I will say I don't think I'm speaking out of school on Kevin. I think when you it'd be really fucked up if I just pulled up pictures of Kevin right now. I'm like, well, let's put up a poll, everybody. You think he needed it or no? I've never met someone who got that surgery where I wasn't like, good, you needed to get that surgery. Like, people that I'm like, I like you and I would like to like you for longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's Kevin.
I will say Bobby Kelly, Robert Kelly, very funny comedian. I'll say a joke I heard him do. That's probably a bad thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because he had that surgery. He's lost a ton of weight. And I heard him say on stage when people are like, couldn't you just do it the right way? And he's like, fucking no. That's why I had the surgery. I couldn't do it the right way, you know. Couldn't you just exercise and eat right? Like, no.
Yeah, I do feel like there certainly are people who, but I think there's also people, I think Ralphie May like broke through a lap band or something like that. Like, you can still ruin it. It's not like you just are done. By the way, Mike Hansen, up, down, down, left. Mike is our biggest fan. He's maybe our only viewer right now. We got up to three at one point. Up, up, down, down, left.
If you live stream a tree falling in the woods and no one's there to see it.
I know, this is at least there's people. If that had said zero, I would have ended it already. This episode
Mike,
would
don't
be
leave.
Over.
Don't
so
leave, Mike. We need
don't
you.
Leave. It's, dude, I did a show at Tacoma Comedy Club when they did a thing where you could, like, technically the people could rent out the club and it would be like a private show basically for a family. And I did one with two people and one of them went to the bathroom and I literally just stopped. Like, I can't do comedy to one person, okay? I need you to at least, when I do a joke, you look at the person at your table, at least, you know? Anyway, though, yeah, I mean, I've never met someone who I was like, no, this person, they just want to be skinnier and hotter. It's not like a thing you get you don't see like a MMA fighter getting it to cheat the system or a model getting it to cheat the system. These are folks that have, like, sure, eat healthier, exercise more. Absolutely. Let's not have her knee or their knees. I said her. I don't know why. Their knees buckle under the weight of it. As I say, as a person who's, I think often about like the one advantage I have. This is the fat guy rationalization. I go, the one advantage I have is my legs are going to be way stronger than they were last time I was skinny, because I've been carrying around 100 extra pounds or 80 extra pounds for years. It's like doing squats all day.
Yeah, that's for the most part, chubby dudes have nice calves, for the most part, mm-hmm. Which really, I mean, I've been bigger in my life, but I do have nice calves, I have like pretty muscular calves, and I always look, whenever I think about it, I'm like, this is what my body is saying, if you exercised everything, you would look like this, and I'm still like, let's just leave it down there,
gravity's taking care of the exercise. Yeah. We'll I didn't know that I had nice calves. I've always had like, you know, strong calves. I got strong legs. I played baseball growing up. I was doing a podcast with Greg Beachler in the pandemic, and hang on, I got a DM here. Oh, literally in real time. Oh. This is good. Deb Tahara, friend of the podcast, told me your volume is too low. So I'm going to turn you all the way up and see if it gets any better.
We were having
in post, we'll be fine. We'll get it. But Gabe Rutledge, episode one, ruining it with his bad audio. Deb Tahara, the hero that we needed. By the way, Deb Tahara, comic who made the, it was Fool Capacity, a documentary about like comedy reopening in Everett, Washington. That's pretty good. Anyway, big fat, I got big fat dad calves and Greg Beechler. I was doing a podcast with him and I like on the, cause we're all like, you know, early stages of the pandemic where I'm like, we don't know what we're doing. And I leave the camera on and I go run to the, take a piss. And he's like, wow, those are nice calves you have. Cause he saw me leaving the room, which I never thought of. And now I'll never, you know, no physical compliment will ever go unappreciated for me.
that's a gender difference, you know. Every dude I know is like, please, someone objectify me, please, for the love of God.
Yeah.
Talk about something other than my brain.
Yes, you know. Exactly. So I do want to talk about, because you're not only do you have these Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday shirts. Yeah. But you recently got some new headshots, which is, we're going to look at them, Gabe. We're looking at the headshots.
I'm breaking up. My signal, my mic's broken. All right.
Oh, you thought you were quiet before. So you got these headshots from Gabriel Michael.
Yeah.
Photography. It's and so these are where I got my headshots. Also, I haven't gotten headshots in too long. It's been too long. I haven't gotten skinny enough or fat enough to necessitate new headshots. But can you tell me, because I find the process of getting headshots absolutely excruciating, and it's nothing to do with Gabriel Michael Photography. Love Gabriel Michael Photography. It's just maybe it's like insecurity or whatever. Can you tell me the origin of this three shirt? Because it's now part of your entire personality. Is this your March, Mondays in March shirt?
Yeah. I got 3-1, 3-2, 3-3.
Oh, this is definitely an album cover for like a folk singer.
Yes, that one is, there's nothing in my brain, but it looks like I'm having some real deep thoughts. You know, like, so the three shirt is just a shirt I wear. Actually, funnily enough, when my son was born, I wore that three shirt. When my first daughter was born, I wore that three shirt. And then when my second daughter was born, I was like, I should wear the same shirt in the delivery room. But I was a little husky at the time, and so I couldn't wear it, and I wasn't going to have, like, her first baby pictures be me, like, trying to fit into a medium. You know what I mean? Just like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I did not wear that. But, no, I mean, I wore a bunch of different shirts, but that was, like, the ones that turned out okay. I hate headshots. That's how I kind of feel like how I know I wouldn't love acting.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, he goes, like, do a serious one. Do a funny one, do a wacky one, and I just make the same school photo smile every time. Just like I'm not comfortable at all.
Yeah,
you know, the ones he didn't pick, some of them are very hilarious. Just because I would make like a, he'd like, open your eyes big, and he liked those, but they looked insane. They looked insane. Like, I'm just imagining it on a big Vegas digital billboard, just like, hey, come see this guy. And I'm just like,
that's hilarious.
So yeah, I didn't do that. If this is my page, in the comments someone said, where's one with you with a hairbrush? And I did post a link to one that I'm not using, that was it's me talking into a hairbrush. But maybe are you probably on Instagram, huh?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram.
All right, never mind then. Yeah, there's like a hairbrush one where I'm just like talking into it. But yeah, it's headshots are brutal, man. And it's I can't even imagine. Well, I see some comedians And it's like every show they do, they'll be like, Minneapolis was great. And then there's like a professional photo accompanying it.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's taking these and why are you doing this? This sounds like a nightmare to me.
I think you got to be like a young, hot guy for that. Like people want to take your picture because they want to, you know what I mean? Like I don't think any, not no offense to you, Gabe, but I don't think anyone's throwing you into their portfolio. Like we're like, I want like freelance jobs. Here's a picture of Gabe Rutledge. By the way, me either. I'm not disparaging you in any way.
I feel like this picture I'm looking at could be for an advertisement for that dating site called Our Time.
I could also see like a the one where it's like everybody has an STD.
Yeah, I could be the face of gonorrhea.
This is I do like this. This is I hope other guests are not as are not very sensitive about being roasted because I do like the comments roasting. The three shirt picture looks like he lives with a bunch of birds and folds paper towels before he uses them. that's special shirt, Mike Hansen, you asshole. Is it? It's genuinely the same exact shirt. It's like the same shirt, the actual same shirt.
Yeah, it's the actual same shirt.
I've been so many different sizes in that amount of time that I don't own a single thing that I could have worn when I was whatever age you were when you had your first.
I don't wear it very often because it's too short. It's not too small, like size wise, but like you know, it's the kind of shirt where if you raise your hand, it just goes up to your nipples, and you're like, I can't do this.
Have you ever seen, there's a thing that's happened in these better modern times, and I'm just an observer of the world, Gabe, but I've noticed that, it's not going to sound anything but sarcastic, because my voice has like a sarcastic tone to it all the time. It's good that larger women are being given the opportunity to feel more confident. Sure. But sometimes I will see a larger woman wearing a shirt that exposes her midriff, and I have shirts that I feel like are the exact same shirt. And I immediately, the moment my lower belly exits my shirt, I feel immediately, and I am upset about it. I can't imagine having the confidence to wear that shirt on purpose.
If I feel a cool breeze on my belly or ass crack, I sense immediate shame of just like
yeah, the people that walk around with like, I used to work with this guy, a Samoan guy, his name was Pisa. I almost said his last name, which I probably shouldn't, but he would wear sweat shorts back before they were cool, and he was a very big man. He would wear tall tees, so his shirt would go down to like the middle of his shorts for that exact reason. He was like ahead of his time. And one day I came up and lifted the back of the tall tee like as a joke, and literally I'm 3/4 of his ass crack was exposed under the shirt. And I'm like, how can you I feel like you're a bump away from having your entire dick and balls out. How could you live comfortably in that state?
Well, they again, it is great that women of all sizes are sort of, you know, reclaiming what sexiness is or what even what healthy is and all that. But it's like,
yeah,
there is, and also it's much harder to be a woman in the world. I'm acknowledging my privilege, but the positive body movement has not reached straight men.
Yeah.
The straight men reality is if you see a fat dude, you go, better make more money, bro. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's also, they're like, it's crazy because they're like, well, if you're under 6 foot, little dick, fat, bald, out. And it's like, dude, Chris Rock made one joke about one of the most attractive women in the world having alopecia, and people are like, fuck that piece of shit. He was making fun. And they're making jokes like that all the time about bald dudes.
Yeah, bald dudes. For some reason, I feel like I can't be as dirty as I would on your normal podcast because we're live streaming. I don't know why that is.
Let's ruin your life. But
the little dick thing bothers me. Hey, three viewers, I have an average penis. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, we're down to one now. It just went down to one.
I'm fine. No, don't go. Mike, don't go. I'll talk about something else. I have been averagely blessed to have an average size genitals. But that really, because there is this thing, like, you know, this little dick motherfucker. Like, it's just like the meanness of a thing we have no control over.
Right.
It's very odd. It's very odd that level of, like, meanness and bullying is still just like, yeah, that's totally acceptable.
Well, especially, like, when people are like, and I'm not to, I know that it's a lightning rod to bring up Donald Trump, but they're like, this orange fucking fake hair, little dick, small hands, heaven. And I'm like, I thought you were saying you're mad at him for bullying, and then you say all these things, like, about how he's, you know, he's fucking overweight. You're like, gee, I mean, relax. Like, Stormy Daniels said he had a small dick the other day on social media, and I'm like, this is the hero? This is the liberal hero? Also, yeah, by the way, registered Republican Stormy Daniels.
That makes no sense to me, because it's like, yeah, she's like some hero because she, whatever, you're the one who had sex with him. You don't get to bully the guy afterwards.
I know. And also, we're pretending like it's sex that wasn't. My suspicion, Gabe, is, and you spend a lot more time in Vegas. You know this better than I do. But my suspicion is that when he gave her $130,000 to not come out with that revelation, I suspect that wasn't the first time he had paid her some money. Okay, but what we're all supposed to pretend is that she consensually fucked Donald Trump, and we're like, this is our hero, this is our queen, is this lady who consensually fucked a still like 65-year-old Donald Trump or something like that, you know?
Like she was an undercover spy doing it for the good of, like, whatever. And then, you think that's bad, she toured comedy clubs. That's even a bigger crime.
I know. Yeah, I'll never forgive her for that. Fuck all
That's hilarious to be like this stupid orange little dick tight, and you're like, well, you had sex with him. So, you know. And then I've been with my wife since we were 19, so this isn't my world, but like online dating people are just like, you know, under 6 feet, need not apply. Like the height
thing, I know,
is insane. It's insane.
I know.
And it's really,
I'm a height that's like,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm a height that like, I don't worry about it's not my identity either direction. I'm not a tall guy or a short guy. I'm not 6 foot, but I'm like between 5'10 and 6 foot, depending on, I do get like different measurements at the doctor, but I'm like 5'11 or 5'10 when I go in, which is like an unremarkable height. Like literally there's no remark to, it's like average. It's, I am the height. Like, relative to your dick, I'm exactly the same height.
6 inches? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well. By the way, our friend Jess Everett and I, you know, look out for this, folks, but we got approached to do a review for some golf apparel, and they sent us, like, three options, and they were all, it was like a shirt, another shirt, and then short cargo shorts, like 8.5-inch inseam cargo shorts, and we are going to have fun with the 8.5-inch inseam cargo shorts. It's coming, folks.
The most positive place in all of the internet is porn. Because I think it's because people are looking for what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a short person, if it's a big person, if it's a small penis, if it's a big one, the comments are like, yes, I love this. They're like, over, you know, it's.
I wouldn't know, Gabe, but it's cool that you've
got
such a catalog.
A listener to my podcast point this out to me, and I'm passing it on to you.
Oh, thank you.
I might look later.
Was that listener you when you edit it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm my listener. Also, another funny thing about porn comments is they'll be like, would you like to share this video all the time? Like next, and I'm like, no. I do not. Why is that an option?
I feel like they better have like 7 are you sures before that goes out.
Yeah, that's what happened to Ted Cruz. He hit that button by accident.
The best of us brought down by technology, you know? Well, I guess the last thing that I want to talk to you about is a little, I mean, not explicitly related, but you've spent a lot of time in Vegas. You're spending a lot of time in Vegas working the Comedy Cellar, and you work at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, and you just might as well move to Vegas at this point, Gabe, and ruin every chance we have of hanging out and doing comedy shows together and start a new life. But you brought your kids, first off, is this the first time you brought a child or both of your daughters?
Two. Both my daughters, yeah.
Okay. Is that the first time they've ever been to Vegas?
Yes. Yeah.
I've always wondered. So when I was growing up, we didn't do vacations like that. We were like camping. We did poor vacations. Camping, or we would like go to my grandparents' house, wherever they were at. There was no way we were combining travel and lodging. That wasn't happening. We would go drive to the place I remember I flew to Palm Springs once and stayed in a one bedroom condo that had broken air conditioning in the summer with my grandma. Like kids would go to Vegas when I was a kid and they'd be like, it's so cool. We get to like hang out in the hotel all alone. And I'm like, that sounds like the most boring shit I've ever heard of. But it is when you're a kid. There's like some freedom in that. What did your kids do all day?
Vegas isn't exactly set up for children, but there's a lot of stuff now. There's like a pinball museum where it's got pinball and video games you can play. There's like a place called Meow Wolf. We didn't go, but it's like an interactive art exhibit stuff. Like shopping. There's actually, all the stuff that when I'm there by myself, I walk past and judge the people for. You know, when I go like, why are these mouth breathers, these ham and eggers, lining up to go to the M&M store? Like, you can't buy fucking M&Ms at a 7-Eleven. But then when my kids are there, they're like, M&M store! I'm like, let's go! So there's stuff like that. There's a lot of like shopping type stuff. Even if you're not buying things, there's a water show in front of the, is it Bellagio or Venetian? One of those. There's just a lot of cool shit to look at. So they actually liked it. They were, I think to them, the coolest thing was the Hello Kitty Cafe, which isn't even a thing I ever, I didn't even That's know so it funny. Was there, you know?
What's crazy about that, too, is there's probably, like, that's probably actually an all-ages place, meaning, like, there's adults. My wife likes Hello Kitty shit. There's probably, like, grown women in there, and, well, probably grown men also, I'm sure. And then the youngest kids, like, the very youngest kids.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my wife has a Hello Kitty tattoo. So it's it was a family event. But also, when you're a kid, I didn't really get to know this because I didn't really do hotels when I was a kid either, but staying in a hotel for my kids is just the best thing ever. They just think it's amazing, especially a Vegas hotel. You know, we're on the 17th floor. There's a lot of stuff going on. So they had a lot better time than I thought. I was kind of worried that they were going to be bored. But no,
because you would normally be out like with a, not Stormy Daniels anymore. Obviously, she's moved on from that. But you'd be out perusing the local talent, and instead,
Stormy Daniels paid me $30 to not tell people about what we did.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I feel like. By the way, I do kind of feel like she should be on the paying side of that a little bit. Like, she should be not wanting people to know she fucked Donald Trump.
Yeah, she should be humiliated. Well, I was at the Comedy Cellar, shows at 7 and 9:30. I'm getting back to my room at like 11:30. So it is a little, it's a little weird for the schedule, to like have them there and, you know, but it was still, it was fine. It was totally fine. I was tired for 3 days, but that's whatever, you know?
Oh yeah. Cause you come home and you're like a, you want to be like decompressing for a little while and they're just already asleep in the same room as you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually they probably, they weren't asleep yet, but they were like, probably should have been, because it was like, you know, they're not going to sleep in that long. So, yeah, it definitely was like, that part is a little weird. Now, when they were, when I would travel, when they were like real small, like, you know, your daughter's age or whatever, it's a fucking nightmare. It's because, I mean, you, how old's your daughter?
She's almost four.
Okay. We'll see. Even then, the amount of stuff you have to take with you anywhere is like, especially even younger when it's like bottles and things like that, but it's like diaper bags and strollers and, you know, all this crap. And that if they get off the routine, they're just screaming and crying and having meltdowns and, you know, you're dragging a kid through the M&M store. So it's like, it's actually, my youngest is in sixth grade and it's so much fun and it's so much easier to do things now, which I've really been enjoying.
I also like the thing about kids, the M&M store thing is funny because I think maybe we share this affliction, but I like, there's some shit that I'm too cool for and it's like, I'm not in a good way. I mean that in a bad way. Yeah. Like I'm like, I'm too cool. I'm not going to fucking Applebee's. Like I'm going to find the mom and pop with the weird dish that's like their signature dish and I'm going to try that. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not getting Chipotle. I'm gonna go to the taco truck that's by, you know, that's by the shady gas station, and we're getting the real experience. And I do like kids divorce you from that completely because they have none of that like preconceived shame. So that like I'm sure your daughters are not going like, I'm gonna be really embarrassed that I really loved the M&M store when my dad tells this story on a podcast. You know what I mean?
No, you're so right though, because it's like, I'm really, I am definitely raising some basic bitches, and I mean that in the best way possible. because like we were walking into the hotel, and my ninth grader is like, "Oh my god, there's a Starbucks right in the lobby," and I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, there is." You know what I mean? Like I would never. That does not excite me. That does not.
Yeah.
You know. But it's like, it's fun to see the world through your kids' eyes a little because they're such, you know, they're not quite the jaded pricks that middle-aged men are, you know?
All right. I think this is probably a good time to end it. We don't need to leave our one viewer. We don't need to keep our one viewer happy for any longer. Can you say all your social media stuff and I guess we should have done like the dates you have coming up that you care about earlier, but we're doing it now.
I guess
for the one person, buy that ticket, one person.
I mean, GabrielRutledge.com has my schedule. I have like a show in Enumclaw towards the end of the month. I have a show in Centralia. I have some stuff in Gold Beach, Oregon. You know, I think GabrielRutledge.com will get you everywhere you need to go, but Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff.
What's the show we have together? What's the date on it? I'm not only saying that. I also might need to add it to my calendar still.
Let me look real quick. Did I disappear? Or am I, okay, good.
No, you're good.
Our show is...
Oh, May 20th.
Yes, May 20th in Duval, Washington at William Grassy Wine.
Ah, my favorite wine of that month.
My son's 21st birthday is that day, which...
Wow. Should we bring him with us?
You know what? He's later, after his birthday, he's going to Vegas with me. And I think we're going to, like, he's going to do a little gambling. He might have his first alcohol ever. We will get hookers. It's gonna be great.
That's good. You're a good father, Gabe.
Yes. We'll go have these. I'm not paying for the whole thing, but
All right, I'm going to end this for everyone else, and I'll talk to you for a minute.
All right.
I think it's over now.